Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
So a five-year-old kindergartner is told by a public school employee that she cannot pray over her lunch at school. That's the Carillon, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, elementary school in Oviedo, Florida, which received a stern letter of rebuke and admonition from Liberty Institute. Thank God for that organization. And the school has denied it. Well, actually, what they said was that no one has corroborated the little girl's story. Last year, Liberty Institute represented a 10-year-old student in a Tennessee public school where a teacher said that she could not write a paper describing God as her personal hero. Yeah, the assignment was to write a paper on a personal hero, and this student, Erin Sheed, I believe is how you pronounce her last name, wrote her paper on God, my hero. And when she turned in the paper to the teacher returned it and explained, "You can't write a paper describing God as your hero." Well, she was allowed, by the way, to write about Michael Jackson. Yeah. Michael's in, God is out, you know. If you think these are isolated cases, you're not paying attention. Liberty Institute and Christian Law Association deal with these sorts of complaints regularly, and it's widespread. You know, you tell a homosexual couple that you don't want to take photos of their marriage, and the American press gets so bloated with outrage, it strains its seams to near bursting. A little five-year-old is told she can't pray over her lunch, and the American press yawns. I mean, you hear crickets, you know. Justina continues to be held hostage by the government of Massachusetts, and generally, the American media snores. A perfectly innocent, albeit untalented, movie maker sits in jail, rotting because Obama's a liar. And the America's media? Oh, wait, maybe we're seeing a blink or two. Perhaps they're rubbing some sleep out of their eyes now in this Benghazi thing. What do you think? Benghazi, the Wolverine that has Obama's scent and won't break off its pursuit. There's a cartoon for you, an intrepid Wolverine with the word Benghazi written on its side, pursuing Obama with a speech balloon over his head reading, "Hey, everybody, let's just move on." I want to thank all of the friends of truth who have refused to let this Benghazi story go the way of Waco. You remember that, don't you? The Waco massacre. Thank you, thank you, thank you with all my heart on behalf of our murdered ambassador, Christopher Stevens, his information officer, Sean Smith, and then the two former Navy SEALs that were with him, Tyrone Woods and Glenn Dougherty. And then on behalf of the fifth casualty of that 9/11 attack, truth. Thank you for not allowing this to become another Ruby Ridge story lost in the netherworld of conspiracy theorists. The media were told to move on. Remember that? Oh yeah, Obama sent out the message loud and clear, which was repeated in the talking points echo chamber throughout the country. You know, Benghazi, nothing there. Let's move on. And the MSM, mostly stupid media, took their marching orders from their leader, and they moved on. Recently, when one among them was asked why the MSM did not pursue the Benghazi story, he said, "We've got a lot of stories to cover, you know, and most journalists would react to Benghazi news by saying, you know, that's a Fox story." Which is journalese for unserious story or a mere anti-Obama tirade, which those of us who follow Fox know better. But anyway, more evidence comes out now indicating that Obama lied to his beloved press. And it comes out that an administration representative did give instructions that Rice should focus on the "movie made him do it" line in order to protect Obama from political fallout that might otherwise upset his campaign hopes. This sort of cover-up is being referred to as Nixonian. How ironic that of all people, Hillary, would be dragged into a Nixonian cover-up scandal. She was one of the bulldogs, you know, that ragged on Nixon for the infamous Watergate cover-up. Senator Lindsey Graham, bless his heart, is calling for a, quote, joint select committee in the House, end quote, tasked with getting at the truth about Benghazi. He accused the White House, read Obama, of blatantly lying about its role in the Benghazi cover-up. Well, we've been saying that all along. On Wednesday, Judicial Watch released a White House email written by National Security Advisor Ben Rhodes, in which he instructed a specially chosen envoy to the UN, Susan Rice, to blame the 2012 Benghazi terrorist attack, in which our ambassador and three other brave Americans were murdered, on an anti-Muslim video. We know now that the attack was a carefully planned and executed assault by armed militants, terrorists, targeting Ambassador Stevens, by the way, for reasons that we still don't really understand. But one thing we know for sure is that it was not about any anti-Muslim D-rated movie, you know, produced by some hack who appears to be either so afraid of reprisals, the threats that had made against him by the White House, so intimidated by Obama's thugocracy, you know, by his bullying tactics, that this man refuses to speak out. Or another scenario is that this fellow is part of the cover-up and a dutiful soldier and co-perpetrator of this wicked crime. Why was Stevens targeted for execution? What was he doing in Benghazi on 9/11 in the first place? What business did he have there? I understand it wasn't on his travel itinerary. Why were his appeals for increased preparedness for that particular consulate ignored? And now, why did the White House purposely lie about the event? You know, I'm inclined to think there might be more to this than merely an effort to protect Obama's campaign, but then again, Obama really is exactly the sort of person who would do this kind of thing merely to protect his personal interests. And why is this hapless movie hack still in jail? Since everyone knows his movie had nothing to do with the terrorist attack on our consulate in Libya. And furthermore, the guy's an American, isn't he? I think I understood he was a naturalized American. And doesn't he have some kind of right to free speech? And can't he say whatever he wants to about Muhammad? In the same way that these Noah movie hacks... There's Noah movie makers have the liberty, the freedom of speech to create a total science fiction movie out of the biblical story of Noah and sell it to the public as a movie that they said follows faithfully the biblical account. Remember that? Yeah, that's what they were saying about the movie to get us Christians to take a look at it. But then a week or so after it was released, they laugh and boast that it was the most unbiblical Bible-based movie, is what they said, that has ever been made. Ah, ha, 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 yuck, yuck, ha, ha, tee, hee, hee, hee. These people, they crack me up. They're a bunch of morons. Tee, hee, hee, I'm such a liar. Yuck, yuck, look at me, I'm such a liar. That's what they're saying. It always makes me think of that verse that says, their, quote, glory is in their shame, end quote, Philippians 3:19. To all my New Cart Christian friends, you'd better close your ears because you really don't want to know. This verse is actually in the Bible. Come on, lighten up. Quote, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's Revelation 21:8. Now here's a widow in Pennsylvania whose house was sold out from under her by the government because she had, I think it was $235 in, that she owed the government. And this, by the way, is actually, it's a sixth, the outstanding taxes is $6.30. And I guess this other that amounts to the $235 comes out to be the $6.30 plus fines, penalties, and all that. And they put this woman's house into a forced sale to collect $6.30 in back taxes plus penalties and so on. And when the courts looked at it in the fine state of Pennsylvania, they said, well, you know, she was given due notice. Yeah, you know, the tax laws, they don't leave much room here for this. What they did was legal. Government acting like a bully. Here you go. IRS agents equipped with AR-15 assault rifles sporting 30-round clips. Hey, Why do IRS agents need AR-15s with 30-round military capacity clips? This is the same IRS involved in targeting conservatives who oppose their boss, Obama. The word targeting here takes on another level of ominous meaning when you think about the IRS having their agents trained in the use of AR-15 assault rifles. What exactly are they planning? More and more, we are watching as our government tools up to attack Americans. What's going on here? Targeting conservatives for government bullying in order to intimidate them into silence or to shut down opposition to their boss, you know, the fellow they work for, Obama. Is that a bit disconcerting to you? That these same, the same organization, you know, IRS, targeting conservatives for political bullying are given AR-15s? Wow. You've got an administration that wants to reduce our arms capabilities in the armed services, you know, and make certain our soldiers cannot even carry their own weapons on base to protect themselves or their buddies against some rampaging lunatic. But at the same time, they want to put arms into the hands of the IRS? What? Why does the IRS need assault rifles? Is this part of Obama's effort to accomplish this, you know, his goal, one of the goals he stated during his first campaign, to establish an internal army with military capabilities for domestic enforcement that equal that of our military? And these are the people you want to control your health care? These are the people you want to trust with what are probably the most personal and life intersecting questions and problems that you will have in your lifetime? You want the government to control your health care? You've got to be insane. Now, here's an illustration of what happens when government controls healthcare. In Belgium, where euthanasia is legal and where government bureaucracies make decisions about your fitness to live, Margot's mother went to a doctor complaining of depression. And Dr. William Distelmans, he diagnosed her as needing to be euthanized. Yeah. Oh, by the way, that means killed. Let's call it what it is, murdered by government sanction. You want to send your child to a hospital and have that hospital kidnap your kid and then turn your child over to a government bureaucracy that decides to take custody of your kid away from you for no just cause and without accountability and effectively tell you that your children are not yours when natural law and the law of our Creator clearly indicates that parents are the natural guardians of their own children, not a faceless, menacing government bureaucracy. Come on. What's going on in this country? You want to send your father or your mother to the doctor because they're suffering some depression or whatever, and then have the doctors decide to kill your mother or your father by euthanasia because, well, you know, they think it's time for them to go? And that's coming here, by the way. God always sends adequate warnings before he turns the people over to their oppressors. And you, my fellow Americans, are being given one signal after another. I mean, one clear trumpet blast of warning after another. The government bullies must never be trusted with your health care. It'll politicize it. It'll be a mess. And we must never allow bureaucrats serving under the direct pleasure of the president to go about carrying AR-15s in our neighborhoods. You don't need a tax collector showing up at your door pointing an AR-15 at your head. That's reserved to local law enforcement or state enforcement through legal channels involving a court and trial with jury and of your peers and so on. You'd better understand and assert your rights or look, hey, I'm going to address the question of the biblical basis for defending inalienable rights against a tyrannical government. The question keeps coming up. We can't escape it. We're going to have to address it. What is a proper Christian response to this situation that's developing in our country? What does the Bible actually say about this sort of thing? Now, I'll offer that message Sunday, May 11th. That gives you plenty of time to prepare, clear your calendar so you can be there. Sunday, May 11th, 6 p.m. Now, that's not this coming Sunday night. All right, we have Dr. Gomez, who's responsible for the production of the Gomez Bible, the Reina Valera Gomez. And he'll be speaking for our missions conference this week, beginning Sunday. But the following week, I'll be addressing this issue from my pulpit. And I've got to conclude this segment, your assignment this week. And by the way, my Know Your Bible course will continue this Sunday. But your assignment this week is to read through the book of Judges, and you're going to notice that when God's people backslide, God removes their liberties and turns them over to oppressors. When they repent, well, he sends deliverers to save them from their oppressors. Also, he always sends clear warnings of coming judgment, and he always offers his people a clear opportunity to repent and avert that judgment. The signals of a rising oppressive force within our own government are startling and clear. Only a spiritually deaf and blind person could possibly fail to see and hear the warnings. Now think about what I've said to you today. I started with a story about a 5-year-old kindergartner being bullied by her public school, forbidding her to say a silent prayer over lunch on campus. We ended up talking about the IRS being armed with assault rifles, a bureaucracy already exposed as abusing its power and using its power to bully the political opponents of their boss. Removal of prayer, rising oppression. Turn your back on God, and God will turn you over to the oppressors. He will remove the shields of divine protection that safeguard our liberties. Listen as I conclude this segment. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now listen, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Hold on through the break. I'll be right back.
King David wanted to bring the Ark of God into Jerusalem. God's prophet encouraged him and told him it was God's will. For this very special project, David commissioned the building of a brand new cart to carry the precious Ark of God. As they rolled down the road, they hit a bump. To keep the Ark from falling off the cart, the driver reached out and touched it. This brought death to the driver. David became afraid of the Lord. He sent the Ark away and he went home troubled. Later, David understood from the scripture that the only proper way to transport the Ark was for the priests to carry it. He decided to try it again, and this time he did it according to God's instructions. And everything worked out beautifully. David was a good man with good motives, but his plan was flawed. Many good men with good motives are attempting to do a good work, but they're doing it the wrong way, and it has brought spiritual death to our churches. Are you in a new cart church? Come to an old path church this Sunday. Call 347-9887 or go to santamarialighthouse.org for more information.
Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. So, this judge hears a case in which it is alleged and in court proved that a 54-year-old public school teacher raped a 14-year-old child. The court sentenced him, this man, to, are you ready for this? To 30 or 31, I've read both numbers. 30 or 31, not years, days in jail. Now, to be fair, this sentence included 15 years of supervised probation and requirement to register as a sex offender. But 31 days for raping a 14-year-old? The judge rationalized his sentence by saying, first, the sentence was within the sentencing guidelines of his state, and second, now listen to this, that this 14-year-old was not beat up and forced, but rather manipulated and used, and so in the judge's own words, quote, obviously a 14-year-old can't consent. I think that people have in mind that this was some violent, forcible, horrible rape, Boss said Tuesday, and that's the judge. He goes on, quote, it was horrible enough as it is, said the judge, just given her age, but it wasn't this forcible beat-up rape, end quote. Huh. Now, that probably isn't the statement made by the judge that really got him in trouble, and he is in some. It's this one, quote, District Judge G. Todd Baugh, in sentencing Stacy Rambold, and that is the teacher who committed the crime of statutory rape, on Monday said victim Charisse Morales, and that is the 14-year-old who was raped by Rumbold, was, quote, as much in control of the situation, end quote, as her teacher, referring to Charisse as a troubled youth, quote, older than her chronological age, end quote. This is reported in the Billings Gazette. Is blood squirting from your eyes yet? Unbelievable. Can you believe this perverse judge with a heart so callous, with his own perversities, no doubt, that he has not even the natural sensitivity and sense of a human being to see the outrageous effrontery of a 54-year-old man taking advantage of a 14-year-old girl, especially one that is troubled. And then talk about mitigating circumstances such as, you know, she happens to be old for her age? What? What does this guy mean? I understand this judge has never even met the girl. Now, I don't know, maybe he saw pictures or heard some. I don't know. Where is this coming? And then this. That she was in, quote, as much control of the situation as the teacher was, end quote? All right, well, calm down. Look, all of this is bad enough, but now on top of it, this kid ends up killing herself a few years later. I'm not sure whether she was just One really messed up kid, you know, confused, made seriously depressed by how the adults in her life, namely, in this case, one specific 54-year-old pervert, had used her. Or perhaps she was one of the many kids today who buy into the lie told to them by adults over and over in 100 different ways, virtually every day, through the movies they watch, the songs they listen to, the entire entertainment industry and the culture that surrounds them, that sex outside of marriage is, okay, go for it. Don't worry about consequences, blah, blah, blah. Homosexual marriage is okay. Everything else is okay. Everything's fine. Now, you're in for some serious trouble when this country wakes up and catches on to how you have been lying to our children, setting snares for them that destroy their lives. And then the country starts applying the penalty sweet Jesus prescribed for such rascals, namely, the stone be tied to their filthy necks and they'd be thrown off the cliff into the sea. Something like that. Or if you slide by that judgment, if we never wake up, you'll get yours when my king returns, whichever comes first. So I don't know if Charisse is yet another victim of that generalized you out there in this country who are propagating the free love myth of the 60s, destroying the souls of our children. Or if she was thrown into deep depression and driven finally to suicide by this man violating her in the first place, I don't know. But if she was a troubled youth, as the judge seems to think, then all the more reason to sentence that rascal to the maximum allowed for taking advantage of a troubled kid. Now that the kid has killed herself, a higher court has stepped in and overturned that judge's decision and will lay the full weight of law upon this fellow, we hope. So the law is not entirely broken, at least not yet, but how many of our kids are going to have to die before we wake up and turn this thing around? Hey, remove God from our schools. Tell 5-year-old children they cannot pray over their lunch at school. Tell students that they cannot call God their hero in a class assignment instructing them to write a paper about one of their heroes. So drive God out of our schools. And then what's next? Well, guess what's next? The Constitution is what's next. Yeah, it's driven out. Two students at the University of Hawaii in Hilo were distributing free copies of the United States Constitution. Imagine that. An official of the university informed them that they were not allowed to approach students and to offer to them a free copy of the Constitution. Can you believe this one? The university claims that it provides a free speech zone where the students are free to speak out against university policies, prohibiting them, for example, in this case, from distributing free copies of the Constitution. Excuse me? I don't recall reading anything about a free speech zone in the Constitution. Maybe that's why the university does not want people reading it. And if you want to speak out against the school's policy, hey, go to the free speech zone, or you're going to be in trouble, man. What is going on in our universities? It happened in our university here in California as well, or a junior college, excuse me, Modesto. This is sounding more and more like Red China, huh? Or North Korea? And by the way, according to FIRE, that's Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, you can find their webpage at www.thefire.org. The University of Hawaii Free Speech Zone is less than 1% of the total campus, is muddy and prone to flooding. That's what they think of free speech. But you know what? I wouldn't care if the university dedicated 50% of their campus or more as a free speech zone. As far as the Constitution is concerned, the entire United States of America is free speech zone, buddy. You can't carve out spaces where the inalienable rights of men are arbitrarily suspended. That's what communists do. They encircle entire peoples, slave them, and then deprive them of their inalienable rights. Ukraine's seen enough of that. China is a place where the right of free speech is controlled by the government. Remember Tiananmen? The kids tried to speak out, and what happened? This free speech zone nonsense, this controlling where you can speak freely, is an infringement of our rights. But look, if you accept the infringement of religious speech, such as praying over your meal at lunch on a public school campus because you can't pray in public on government property, then prepare to lose your constitutionally protected rights elsewhere. In fact, just prepare to lose your constitution altogether. I'll be preaching a message soon that shows the inseparable connection between the Bible and our constitution. Now listen, I'm telling you, if you ban the Bible from our schools, it's inevitable that eventually you lose the Constitution in our schools also. Funny, huh? Now it's beginning to prop up, the early stages of this. It's one of those not-so-funny jokes, you know. Funny, you've banned the Bible from our schools back in the early 60s, and now they're beginning to lay the foundation to ban the Constitution. They banned prayer, now you lose free speech, too. Turn your back on God, be turned over to tyrants. Turn around, America. Let's take our country back. I mean, take it back to God, or lose your liberties. I mentioned that we have a guest from Mexico, the esteemed Pastor Huberto Gomez. He's the man who spearheaded the production of the RVG, the Reina Valera Gomez Spanish Bible. Come on by and meet him, and I'll be offering a biblical response to government suppression of natural and inalienable rights on May 11th. And then on May 18th, I'll be addressing the inseparable connection between the Bible and our Constitution. And you'll see why forsaking the Bible necessarily leads to forsaking the Constitution. Ignoring the Bible leads to ignoring the Constitution. Manipulating the Bible leads necessarily to manipulating the text of the Constitution. Whatever attitude you take toward the Bible will necessarily become the general attitude of our country toward the Constitution. Mark it down. You heard it here. It will happen. It's already happening. It's going to stun you, but the arguments are incontrovertible. Now, I've written a new book, The New Cart Church Doing the Right Thing the Wrong Way. It doesn't matter to God. We are distributing 5,000 copies of this book free to our neighbors. Some of you have already received a copy, and I'm enjoying the response I'm receiving already. If you agree with most Americans that America is in moral decline and wonder how that can be when 72% of the population claim to be Christian, well, you should read my new book, The New Cart Church. That is, if you care about this sort of thing, and if you don't care about it, then read the book to find out why you should. Judgment must begin at the house of God, according to the Apostle Peter. And judgment is already upon us. But most are too dull to recognize it. But serious judgment, I mean catastrophic judgment, the kind you cannot ignore, is imminent. One reason judgment must begin in the house of God is that the corruptions that have brought us to this judgment began in the house of God. And I explain this all in my book, The New Cart Church. Perhaps, like many, you are weary with books that decry the problems but offer no solution. Well, in my new book, The New Cart Church, you will find the answer to America's moral decline, and exactly what must be done to avert the fall of catastrophic divine judgment upon us. Now, for my friends who live in our area, if you don't want to wait for us to finally get to your door with a free copy of the book, then you can go to our website, and if you live in our area, use your zip code in the coupon field to get a copy for only $5 plus shipping. Otherwise, it'll cost you $12.95 plus shipping. So go to our website, www.baptistlighthouse.org or www.santamarialighthouse.org, either of those. Click on the bookstore icon under the banner on the left side. You'll see it there. And then I think it's the first book in the list there. Put that in your shopping cart, and when you check out, type in your zip code in the coupon field and then apply the coupon, and you'll see a discount reducing the price that you pay for the book to $5. You'll get the gift edition of The New Cart Church. And this is only if your zip code qualifies for the discount. If it does not, that means you're not in our area and you should not be taking the book for $5. Okay, that would be stealing. Anyway, I suggest you get this book right away. And if you receive another one on your door, well, then just pass it on to a friend. I hope you enjoyed our brain massage today. I appreciate the opportunity I have through this show to reach out to you and talk to you about these subjects from a biblical perspective. And if you enjoy receiving your weekly brain massage, please call me or email me and let me know what you think. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call and let me know that they are on. You see, lights on if you agree with what you've heard me talk about today, or lights off if you disagree, or some of you, you can say the lights are blinking. I agree with some, disagree with others, whatever. All right, call 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.